The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. It is page 318 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. And this is my prayer, that your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
기독교 상담 심리학자인 레리 크랩이라는 분이 쓴
There is a book titled Connections by Larry Crabb, a Christian psychologist and a counselor.
그 책을 보면 이분은
If you read his books,
심리학자로 살아오면서
we can know that he had observed and analyzed people's psychology and behavior as a psychologist and provided answers for 25 years. And he trained other people to do so as well. How he lived his life gave him a big satisfaction, and he had impeccable credentials, and he thought that if he were to live the next 25 years in the same way, he would have a great life. But he's not doing the same work that he did in the past. If his work in the past had focused on separating, analyzing, and healing people who had problems, his focus now is on healing through a union. Therefore, what he does is to make people who have been hurt, who are oppressed by their environment, who are discouraged to stay in the midst of a community and gain the courage to start again. And gain the meaning of life by holding the hands that others have reached out to them in the community. The reason that Crabb changed the direction of his work completely is because of what had happened to his oldest son, Keb. He was lecturing at a seminar at a hotel far away from his home, at a meeting room for a week. The lecture ended at 9 p.m. on a Thursday night, and he was feeling great. The lecture was successful, and the audience had paid close attention to what he was saying. And a lot of people had said to him that God seemed to speak to them through that day's lecture. During the seminar, when the lecture ended, he went for a snack at a hotel restaurant with his colleagues. And so on that day also, he got on an elevator to head to the restaurant to get some snack. But his colleague, Dan, pressed a button for the floor where their rooms were and said, "Let's not go to a restaurant today." And Larry said, "But why? Let's eat something. I'm hungry." But then answered him, "I will explain when we get to the room." Then Larry realized instinctively that something had happened. But Dan came into the room and didn't say anything for a while and then said very quietly, "While you were lecturing, your wife called. Keb was expelled from Taylor University. Your wife is waiting for your call." These three phrases fell to him like a knife to his heart. Keb, who was 20 years old, was a junior at Taylor University. Ken, his second son and 17 years old, was a freshman at the same university. When Keb was born, Crab, his father, had offered up his son to the Lord and committed to direct him to the right path, and that he would do his best as his father to fill his child's heart with the truth of God. When 2 years and 6 months later the second child was born, he prayed the same prayer. Every night before the children went to bed, Crabb told them stories about faith and prayed for them. And during the week, he took them to taekwondo lessons, played basketball with them, and on weekends, He went swimming with the children. Each year, when one of their birthdays came around, he took the child to a restaurant he wanted to go for a birthday party and play the game of 12 questions. He recorded the answers of his son and played them at the next birthday and talked about how much the child had matured. At his son's 13th birthday, in order to celebrate that they were entering adolescence, they took a special trip to observe the birds and the bees. And when they turned 21, they were planning to take a special trip to revisit places they had gone before in order to celebrate the beginning of their adulthood. When his sons became 8 and 6 years old, respectively, Crab had brought an OHP to use during the family Bible study and study the Old Testament, New Testament, Introduction to Theology, and various books. He tried to discipline them consistently, and when he had spanked them, even once, he hugged them tightly and prayed with them afterwards. So, what had gone wrong? He was very confused. He asked himself whether it was something that he should have done, but he didn't. And it wasn't like they didn't have good times either. Once he had made lemonade stand for his son to sell hot dogs and lemonade for 5 cents. On that day, his son earned $21, but Crab had spent $37. When Crab had become a junior at the university, Crab had bought a small home near the school, decorated it with his wife, and had a few of his son's friends to live with them. He thought that it would be great for his son to mature more and more spiritually and be acknowledged as a spiritual leader at his school, and his son's house to become a place for a gathering for Bible studies. And he dreamed of his son meeting and dating a faithful Christian woman, attending revival retreats, revival meetings, and graduating the university with his fiancée. But Cab was expelled from that very university. Well, actually, Crab has some other memories. He thought about when Cab first began to show signs of rebellion, and he remembered that he prayed out loud, yelling at God, that what am I supposed to do exactly? I did everything that I was supposed to do. And also when his son did something wrong, he yelled at his wife, what have you been doing all this time? And he remembered buying a car for his son, but taking it away and selling it and saying things that angry parents often say, like, you do that one more time and you're out of this house. He had thought that he had a clear idea about his son, but in reality, he was making his son into someone he had wanted and not who his son wanted to become. He had a very clear memory of his son when he was a senior in high school, saying to him in anger, Dad, you never think about the possibility that I might not want to go to a college, do you? Crab called his wife and Cab and said that he will be there after he finished his morning lecture the next day. The theme of the lecture the next day, ironically, was the role of parents. That night, strangely, Crab felt at peace in his bed and thought, this is actually an opportunity. The next day, he returned home by plane as soon as the lecture was over and embraced his wife and cried when he got home. They were not tears of anger or discouragement. And he drove an hour and a half to get to his son's school in Indiana. And he felt as if God was sitting next to him in the car. He prayed like this, Lord, I did everything I could, but I still cannot reach my son. Now, I don't know what to do. I'm not asking you to teach me what to do, but I ask that my son will be able to see Christ in me. I now know that teaching and disciplining are not all. Lord, I pray that you will give yourself to my son through me. When Krev met his son, strangely, he was not angry at all. He wasn't saying anything special, but he felt that something was being poured on his son. Not long after, the son came back to his father and to the Lord. When the son and the Lord united, the son's life had changed. And this is what Krebs says. There are only two kinds of things that change a person's heart in this world. One is corruption, and the other is grace. In other words, only Satan and God change people. But while the power of Satan is limited, the power of God is limitless and eternal. Depending on who we unite with, the meaning and the value of our lives will differ, and our eternal life will be decided. And today's text tells us well about union. Verses 9 to 11 of today's text is Apostle Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, whom he loved very much. Philippi church, from the perspective of the world, was a very weak church. But in praying for the Philippi church, Paul did not pray that the largest building in Philippi will become the sanctuary for the Philippi church. And he did not pray for all of the powerful men, the wealthy, and the intellectuals who lived in Philippi to become members of the Philippi church. Apostle Paul did not only pray. The Apostle Paul's prayer for church was a very essential and basic in its nature. Apostle Paul did not only pray that love will abound at Philippi church, but that love would abound more and more in wisdom and insight. The reason was that it is only through love with wisdom and insight that discernment, which is not blind, could be maintained and not live a life in which one is swept this way and that by waves of emotions and live a blameless life which is truthful and not false, like having cracks covered over with wax and not fall down and bring other people down. The prayer of Apostle Paul for the Philippi church continues as follows. Verse 11 testifies, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Apostle Paul is praying that Philippi church will become abound in love, in wisdom, and insight more and more, and that he will be able to tell what is best, and that he will live a life filled the life of truth, and that he will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. We must focus on the fact that Apostle Paul is praying that the Philippi church not only be filled with fruits, but with fruits of righteousness. Now, righteousness is not a life that appears a bit better morally and ethically. Righteousness is one of the characteristics of God. There are the following words in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith. It says that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Here, the righteousness of God can be interpreted as the character of God or the God being like God. God being like God means God's character, which does not give up on men who are indifferent to God or who rebel against Him, but embraces them and loves them and ultimately delivers them. So, to say being filled with fruit of righteousness does not mean merely to leave a lot of worldly success or achievements behind, but us changing in ways befitting children of God. We should note that the fruit of righteousness that appears in today's text is in singular and not in plural. When we think about fruit of righteousness, we think of the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of Spirit also is not plural, but singular. So you may ask, how could it be singular and not plural when there are nine of them? It is because the fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit, of whom there is only one. Therefore, it is said that the fruit of the Spirit is a single fruit with a nine types of flavor. And the fruit is only born out of life. A thing that is not born from life is a product. So fruit of righteousness, fruit of the Spirit, are not some accomplishments that we must achieve, but our very character themselves. Let us read verse 11 again. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It says that the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Anything that does not come through Jesus Christ is a fruit of unrighteousness, fruit of the world, and something that does not have anything to do with God. What is meant by this is clearly explained in Book of John, chapter 15, verses 1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This passage is called the parable of the grapevine and branches. It is not called so in order to emphasize that branches have an obligation to bear fruit. What it emphasizes is a union with Christ. It emphasizes that if the branches are not united with Christ, then no matter how much a branch tries, it can never bear fruit. We know very well that no matter how leafy a branch that has fallen from the vine is, and no matter if it looks like it could bear fruit any moment, the branch will merely become a firewood within a few days and become a handful of ashes. Our life is the same. If not connected to Christ, then no matter how glorious No matter how luxurious and no matter how high of a life person may seem to lead, such life is no different than, no worthy than dry firewood that will soon be thrown into a fireplace. So the Bible says that God is a gardener and Jesus is a true vine. We do not have even a little power to bear fruit on our own, but because of Jesus who gives us the fluid of truth, enough nutrients, we are able to bear fruit. And although we do not have the power to stop evil forces like the little foxes that try to bring down our lives, the God, the gardener, stops them, and so we are able to bear more fruit. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 sings of this kind of life as follows. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We are not trees that came to life on their own by the river. There is someone who planted us, and we are not beings that can supply nutrients on our own. We are able to bear fruit according to season and prosper in all things that we do because the Lord who is with us, because of the Lord who is with us as the water of eternal life. The Songs of Dragon Ascending to Heaven, composed in 1445 during the time of King Sejong, is the first book of poetry written in Korean. There are altogether 125 chapters to this poem, and the second chapter reads as follows. A deep-rooted tree does not shake in the winds, and so its flowers are good and it bears many fruits. Water in a deep well does not dry out in drought, and so it makes a river and go down to the sea. Water in a deep well does not dry out in drought, and so it makes a river and go down to the sea. The poem is saying that Joseon or Korea is like a deep-rooted tree and water of a deep well. But there is no tree that grows to take root deeper on its own. If someone had not planted it, its existence itself would not have been possible. And if not watered, it will soon wither away to die. And also, and it's the same for the water in a deep well. If the sky does not bring down rain, the well will soon become just a deep hole, a trap that will bring down someone's life. It is when we deeply realize that we are not deep-rooted trees, but trees planted by stream, that our lives will become lives filled with fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ. The prayer of Apostle Paul for the Philippi church ends as follows. I will recite verse 11 again. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Apostle Paul says that he wants Philippi church to become glory and praise for God. He is not recommending that Philippi church to do something to glorify and praise God. He is saying that the church in and of itself is the glory of God. He also does not say that he will make the church sing a lot of praises, but says that the church is the praise of God. One of the commonly used saying the church is to bring glory to God. But Christians, there are not many Christians who understand the true meaning of such phrase. The glory of the artist is in his work. When an artist creates a work of art or a composer composes music, it is said that the artist's mind and spirit comes to be embodied in his work. The work becomes the glory of the artist. Now people become amazed through such work and ask, what kind of person is he or she that this kind of work could be made? Now this is glory. Of course, the work itself also is perceived as being at its best. Therefore, to say that we become glory to God means that when others see our lives, our character, and our faith, they respond by saying, who is this God who has made you this way? This is glory to God. So it is when God's omnipotence, God's love, and God being God are revealed through our lives that we become glory of God and praise of God. The part that moved me the most in today's text is the word. It's the last word in the text, which is to want in Korean. In the Bible that you have, does this word appear in a smaller font? The fact that it is written in a smaller type means that the word does not appear in the original. Apostle Paul, when writing the letter for the Philippi church, became overcome with deep thoughts and emotions as he thought back on how he had come to start the church in Philippi, how Philippi church, while he was imprisoned, sent and how Philippi church, while he was imprisoned, sent Epaphroditus to encourage him and provide him with goods, and looked after him, although the church of Antioch, which had sent him, didn't show any concern, and said, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, and cannot finish his sentence. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, during which we meditate on the passions of Christ and wait for his resurrection. God created us, human beings, as beings which are like branches connected to God, and like trees planted by a stream. Therefore, we receive abundant fluid from God and drink in the water of eternal life. But men believe that they could continue to exist as living beings even when they went away from God, and became confident that they could live very well, live well enough anywhere, even if they were to be moved away from the stream. But in the same way that a branch that has fallen from a vine and a tree that has been uprooted from a stream could only head for a fireplace, the ultimate destination for a life that has gone away from God, a life that is not connected to Jesus Christ, can be but a fireplace where eternal death awaits. What is more, we cannot but accept that a life which has gone away from God and a life which is not connected to Jesus Christ, no matter how great it may look for the moment, it is already lived under the shadow of death of the fireplace. Jesus Christ has connected us who were heading towards the fireplace of eternal death to his eternal life. And in order to plant us by the river of life, he did not refuse to take on suffering and even endured cruel death on the cross. Only through the Lord will we become abound with love and wisdom and insight and discern what is best and live our lives as true vessels, not covered over with wax, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness and be glory, bring glory and praise to God. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I pray that this prayer will come wholly true in all of our members' lives. Let us pray. Father God, too many times we try to bear fruit, not through Jesus Christ, but with our own strength and will. And we too often make mistakes regarding the truth about ourselves. We often think that we are the best. It is only when we see ourselves becoming undone over small and great things that we realize how weak we are, how evil we are. Please do not allow us to forget, even for a moment, that we are beings who are not able to bear fruit of righteousness except through Jesus Christ. And allow us not to make the mistake of believing that glory is brought to you by us leaving behind a lot of accomplishments. We thank you that the Lord, by shedding the blood of atonement on the cross, we were made into branches connected to Jesus and trees planted by the river of life. May all of us become, because of Jesus Christ, glory and praise to God. May people become amazed about God in looking at how we are and how God is shaping us to become who we are. And we ask that even more grace will be with the people of Japan who have suffered a great earthquake so that they're able to rise up from the deep despair and hopelessness. At this time of not knowing even where to begin first, confronted with the tasks of having to repair and damage and identifying those who have survived, even the fear of nuclear contamination is being spread because of what has happened to the nuclear power plants. We pray for the miracle in which, engendered by Japan's disasters, we will witness the entire world mutually helping one another so that reconciliation between nations and nations and peoples will occur. When at the time of Jesus, the watchtower of Siloam came down and 18 people died, people thought that they had died because of their sins. But Jesus said that that was not so, and said that unless all repent, everyone will perish in the same way. Help us to shed our mistaken thought that Japan has suffered this great earthquake because of their sins or because of their unbelief in looking at what happened to them, and allow us more wisdom that discern whether our lives are confronted with storms like a tsunami, whether the ground of our lives are being split apart because of our less than perfect lives. May we become glory and praise to God solely for the reason that we are united with the Lord, no matter how our lives may be shaken. And this is my prayer, that all of our members' love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that our members may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.